Yeah, so I was telling Tyler today that I really feel so strongly about the word that God laid on my heart. I actually had a different message that was prepared for today, a story of Naboth's vineyard. And, well, you know how that goes. God woke me up with a different plan this morning. So I want to just pour out my heart to you today. I want to talk about, head on, as I was telling Kim, I want to talk about the concept of justice and injustice. I mean, Wednesday night, we started the discussion just talking a little bit about the fact that injustice, you know, that happens that we know is not right, it's not just, that's been going on since the fall of mankind. You know, the first murder, as we've talked about, you know, Cain killing righteous Abel, was an egregious, you know that word, egregious, terrible act of injustice. There's no doubt about it. With the words that God spoke to Cain before that act was committed, we understand what was behind it as Tyler spoke during worship today, our struggle not with flesh and blood. Do you remember the words that God spoke to Cain? He said, sin is crouching at your door. What animal do you picture when you think of the word crouch? Yeah. That's right. Our enemy crouching like a roaring lion, the scripture says, right? It said, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. That was the words that God spoke to Cain. But Cain gave in to his anger and did what was wrong. Gave in to sin. And to the one behind all sin, the one who was embodied in that crouching lion. Let me ask you a question for future reference in the sermon today. When God meted out a determination upon Cain, did God fulfill justice with that which he did to Cain? Did God fulfill justice? Remember, justice is when that which is right is done, right? So the question I want you just to think about and put in your minds for a little later in the sermon is, did God fulfill justice? You remember what he did. He marked Cain, but did not kill him. All right, hold on to that thought. God hates injustice. Over and over in the scriptures, it's very clear. God hates injustice. But it happens because of human sin. All injustice is sin, right? And God hates all sin. Sin always has negative consequences. That's why God calls it sin. Because it causes, always causes pain and suffering. Always. God hates sin, but it happens because, thanks Rob, because humans are sinful. Someone once said, listen to this, not my quote, we aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Cause that to float around a little bit. In other words, it's our nature, our fallen nature to sin. And that's the nature we need saved from. That's the nature that we need changed inside of us. Right? The scriptures say this, in your anger, sin not. Or do not sin, right? Now, anger in itself is not always a sin, though it can be, as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount when he talked about how anger in your heart against your brother can get to the point where God views it as murder. Sermon on the Mount, right? Yeah. But anger isn't always sin. It just often leads to sin, right? But we know that God gets angry, does he not? Huh? Rightly so. When God sees sin, he gets angry. Listen carefully now. When God sees injustice, he gets angry. When God sees, listen, anger-driven violence and looting and destruction of property, God gets angry. What makes you angry? Is it when someone cuts you off when you're driving your car? Guilty, right? Is it when you drive your all the way across town to pick up a food order and you realize you forgot your wallet back home? What makes you angry? Injustice. Kim and I grew up in a coal mining town in Cambria County. And it's an interesting history of the coal mining industry, how the big coal companies really began to control everything in southwestern Pennsylvania, even south central Pennsylvania, even in north eastern Pennsylvania in the hard coal companies, right? Do you remember the old song? I owe my soul to the company store. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, that was an injustice. You know why? Because the company owned everything. And really, you know, you went to the company store and you bought everything that you needed. And they basically took it right out of your paycheck. And there were lots of miners that on payday had nothing left, still owed the company as a result of that process. Justice? No. Injustice. In our world, the temptation of those with wealth and power to do injustice has always been present, hasn't it? It has. When a foreign dictator accepts huge amounts of relief supplies, but yet lets the food rot instead of giving it to his people and letting them starve. That's injustice, right? When a murderer gets released or gets what amounts to a slap on the wrist because of a legal technicality or worse, because of a corrupt judge, that is injustice. When the father of three young children is shot and killed because some teenagers wanted to take his car for a joyride, that's injustice. And that should make you angry. The reality is sometimes that infuriates people. It's because we see the injustice and we demand that there would be justice served or satisfied. What's going on in America is that an injustice occurred. Now, some people assumed that it would yet be just another case of justice swept under the rug, so to speak, that it would not be adequately addressed and punished. These are the same people that argue that this type of injustice has been going on in America for a long time, particularly since the days of slavery, and has not stopped even though slavery has been abolished. Because they say America has not adequately addressed the core cause, continued racism and prejudice and bigotry against people of color. Is there still racism and prejudice and bigotry in America and in the world? Yes. Absolutely, no question. And not only against blacks. There's prejudice against women still in this world. And there is increasingly prejudice against Christians in this world, and I would submit to you, even in our own country. Is there still racism and prejudice and bigotry in America? Yes, and it goes both ways. It's not just white against black, but there is what might be called reverse prejudice as well, black against white. And there is prejudice even black against black, as evidenced, you know, as we saw one African tribe trying to exterminate another. But in America, because of a past history of slavery and abuse of wealth and power, there has been both egregious and numerous well-documented cases of injustice, including many murders of blacks by whites, which, because of fallen human nature, then causes much of the reverse prejudice that does not get as well publicized, but still exists. And it is clear in all of it, that it is not of God. It is clear that there needs to be healing. It is clear that there needs to be unity, for this is the way and the will of God. Particularly, this is the way of Jesus, about whom the New Testament says, "You are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ and clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free, nor male, nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." The church is the body of Christ. And the scriptures say the body is a unit, though it is made up of many diverse parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are given one Spirit to drink. So belonging to Jesus, following Him, means becoming like Him and hating injustice and seeking to bring unity through healing and forgiveness. I love that passage in Ephesians 4 that it says this: until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. Jesus taught us, forgive, as we pray to God, we say, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we have forgiven those, our debtors, those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And Jesus said, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. But forgiveness, my friends, must flow in both directions. Forgiveness must flow in both directions. Colossians says, therefore, as God's chosen people, that's all of us, It's not a racial comment, is it? As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Say that with me. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's the key. Come on now. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I am convinced that what the body of Christ needs at this time is to put face front, right here in our face, a full understanding of the forgiveness that we have received through Christ, that you have received. Personalize it. What you need at this time is to first focus here first on the forgiveness that was given to you by God. I don't often do this, but I will today. I found a quote by a man I appreciate. Most of you know him. His name is Tony Dungy. Yeah? He writes this. He says, America is in a very sad place today. We've seen a man die senselessly at the hands of the very people who are supposed to be protecting our citizens. We've seen people protest this death by destroying the property and dreams of people in their own community, the very people that they're protesting for. We have many people pointing fingers of blame, painting the opposite side with a broad brush. We have anger and bitterness winning out over logic and reason. We have distrust and prejudice winning out over love and respect. What happened to George Floyd was inexcusable, and it should never have happened. Justice needs to be served. But in seeking justice, we can't fall into the trap, I'm still reading his quote, of prejudicing every police officer we see. We start out as peaceful, what started out as peaceful protests have devolved into arson and looting and should never have happened either. Yes, there should be protests, but we do not have license to perform criminal acts because we're angry. Today we're a divided country, he continues to write, and divided racially, politically, socioeconomically, and Satan is laughing at us because that's exactly what he wants. Dysfunction, mistrust, and hatred help his kingdom flourish. And finally, he says this, what is the answer then? I believe it has to start with those of us who claim to be Christians, he says. We have to come to the forefront and demonstrate the qualities of the one we claim to follow, Jesus Christ. We can't be silent. As Dr. King said many years ago, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. But we can't go forward with judgmental, bitter spirits. We need to be proactive, but do it in the spirit of trying to make things better. And it can't be just the African-American churches. It has to be all churches taking a stand and saying, we are going to be on the forefront of meaningful dialogue and meaningful change. We have to be willing to speak the truth in love, but we have to recognize that we're not fighting against other people, Tyler Miller. We are fighting against Satan and the kingdom of spiritual darkness. And he ends with this. As a matter of fact, in his tweet, he said, if you don't hear anything else, hear these last words of mine. He said, in the words of the Apostle Paul, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen? Now, I believe that today it is incumbent upon me to try to paint for you a clear picture of the justice of God. And so for the next couple of minutes or more, I will try to do that. Because as I said, I know the answer is for us to put in front of us that we see this first, and then we're able to see clearly the other things going on around us, to see first that the justice that we deserved was actually withheld from us in the forbearance of God, so that God could fulfill His justice in Jesus Christ, and therefore allow us to stand before God today justified. I need to tell you, in the justice of God, there is an important, critical difference in understanding the word forgiveness and the word justice. In God, they come together. In human people, we separate them. To illustrate, if you run over my big toe with a bicycle and it hurts, you can say, "I'm sorry," and I'll say, "I forgive you." That's forgiveness, right? If you steal from me, my wallet right now is in my office because my microphone is where it usually is in my suit coat. So if someone during church snuck into the office and stole my wallet, they wouldn't find a lot of money, but then they come up to me and say, "Pastor John, I stole your wallet, spent your money, and here's your wallet back." I could say, "Thank you for returning it. I forgive you." That would not be justice. If you returned, went to the bank, got out your own money, came and said, "I spent your $27, because that's how much is in my wallet. Don't get any ideas, or you're going to get it. No. And he said to me, "Here's the $27 back that I stole from you." That would be justice. Justice is when there is the appropriate price paid for the crime. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand how in our world we can offer forgiveness without there being justice? In God, the two are always inseparable, Caleb. This is why, my friends, that even though the Scriptures clearly tell us in Romans chapter 3, clearly tell us that God in His forbearance withheld the penalty due to sin, right? Until the time came for Him to mete out appropriate judgment and justice, right? That God, on the cross of Calvary, had to place the weight and the full burden of the sins of the world upon the sinless one. Even though I know you know that, this morning I need you to see it in a different light. That the full wrath of God in His hatred against sin was poured out upon His Son. I need you to see that this morning, or you'll miss the point. The full wrath of God. Just think with me in your own hearts this morning of the most egregious acts of sin that you have ever heard of in this world. And I want you to think about the anger that burned within the righteous heart of God when He had to witness those egregious acts. And then I need you to see that that's the wrath that was poured out upon our Lord. on the cross of Calvary so that you today could stand in this place and live. And that you could stand in such a way that when the enemy of your soul comes to be the accuser of you before God, you, in pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, can say, "My debt is paid." That's justification. Your debt, the full weight of every sin, was meted out to Jesus. As Dan reminds me often, every sin you have committed and every sin you yet will commit, poured out, the payment, executed. We will never understand. We will never understand what He went through when that weight was placed upon Him. We will never understand the weight of the sins of the world that was placed upon the righteous one. There is no human being that could have took it. Not even close. And we will never understand fully in this life how precious the blood of Jesus was to the Father. But we must try. Because it's only in seeing that we will understand the power of the mercy and grace of God that has been given to us. And this is why, my friends, that Jesus Himself would say to us, if you do not forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. That's how serious it is. Christians cannot try in these times to put a foot in both camps. We must. There's 13 more pages of notes. We must. I got to put them away or I'll pick them up. We must always stand upon the side of justice. We must always hate injustice as God hates injustice. We must hate sin as God hates sin. But we must be understanding that we are sinners, saved by the grace of God. And I believe, my friends, I believe with all my heart that if we do, if we allow that to bring true focus to our lives, then we will not be able to hold prejudice, bigotry, hatred in our hearts. How could we? How could we? How could we? We who have been forgiven so much. So I know, heavy message, not a popular one, but it's the message of God. I'm sure of it. You see, if we go on and we play that game, I'm going to close here with this, so don't worry. We play that game where we compare ourselves with other people, especially to justify ourselves. When we say, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. If you've ever been guilty of that, don't raise your hand. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. That's the wrong attitude. You want to compare yourself with somebody? Stand next to Jesus. Now try to say that. Now, You know why it's such an egregious sin? That sin when we say, I'm not as bad as so many as this one. You know why? It's because it makes light of your own sin. And that's a work of the enemy. Because when we are willing to confront our own sinfulness, we can open ourselves to the appreciation of the incredible mercy and grace of God. And it is that appreciation of the mercy and grace of God that changes our human heart to soften and not harden. There are so many hearts that are being hardened in America right now. Hardened, hardened, hardened. We cannot be one of them. There is a day, now listen, this is my final word. Did I say that before? There is a day. This has to be a part of what you put into your mind right now. There is a day when every person will stand before the righteous judge and give an account, and he will mete out full justice. Are you hearing me? And you are so fortunate, because on that day, when the book of life is opened, and every sinful act that you've ever committed, even the word that you have spoken that is wrong, that is written in that book, will be marked, paid in full. How fortunate. But for everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the justice of God will be served at that time. There will be not one evil person that gets away with one evil act on that day. You understand that? And thus the Scripture, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, not yours. Amen? Stand with me.